Sermon this evening has to do with the topic of the Bible is irrelevant. I hope you got the right handout. I kind of switched it at the last minute. From the context of 2 Peter 1:3, which was just read by Mike, seeing that his divine power is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, the world contends that the Bible is not relevant for today, that it is written 2,000 years ago and therefore has nothing to do with the situations now. Actually, some of the Bible was written over 4,000 years ago, but not much has changed. Every generation starts anew and must strive to overcome the same problems of spiritual growth. Man is the same, and principles of living are still valid, especially as seen working with God and to be better people. What people mean is that they don't want the Bible to guide them because they are there are things they still want to get away with. And it's the same old immorality that's having its effect on the world. On this, on the relevance of the Bible then for this very thing, Peter goes on to say, for these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Men live by God's promises in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. What he's doing is helping us become like him. And nothing that man does can substitute for that. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust, the world wants to wallow in its lust. God is trying to help us escape from that. You know, it's not really that man has solved all of his problems and that all our societies are utopian cultures where everything is working fine and God is not needed. If nothing else, there is no school or university that teaches one how to be godlike. There were some that were started in this country to do that. In fact, most of our universities, Princeton, Yale, you know, Harvard, started out as Bible colleges. But once men got through with them, they no longer teach what is relevant. Rather, we have come a long way out of darkness, but this is because of God's guidance in helping turn the world upside down. The founding fathers of this nation were very much aware of that and tried to promote, you know, God in all aspects of our life. But now people have forgotten God in the same old darkness of greed, immorality, idolatry, disease, and all other social ills are coming back. Many want to blame religion, being unaware that even religion has fallen back into the hands of men. Unless we go by the true religion that God has given us, things will never be better. In some instances, the gospel is relevant to present social issues. Racism is addressed in the scriptures. It was into a world of geocentric nations that the gospel went into the world and tried to make all men one. Many relations and cultures today are more divisive, trying to separate men into groups, while the word of God is still bringing people together. In Colossians 3:11, it says, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. This is what the Bible has strove to do even before the first century, is bring all men together in a unity with God. The Bible also promotes human rights. The rights of citizens in the kingdom of God, along with the rules and laws and human governments, which are God's institutions, according to Romans 13, and protection in the structure of the family. In Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. This is what the church has strove to do for these last 2,000 years. No matter what a person is, he can come into the assembly of God and find an equality with other men. This is also promoted in the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, but people have a tendency to leave off the last part of that and thus fulfill the law and the prophets. Because, you know, we do go by God's writings and stuff, men can be equal and helpful to one another. Freedom is also addressed and is now viewed as a right of man because of the teachings of the scriptures. But only until the last century has it been introduced into the laws of man. Before that, freedom was not a common term. God has always promoted it, though. In John 8:32 and 36, you shall know the truth shall make you free, and if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. As for any kind of security in this life, only the Bible tells us of what we can be safely sure of. In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." This is one of the promises that we have from God, that we will be safe in his possession. There are things men can do to us, but they cannot touch our eternal salvation. The scriptures also deal with labor and management, even in more extreme situations of master and slave. We do not have that too many situations like that in this country. In fact, where those existed, they have been slowly passed into history. But to work themselves out of the benefit of all concerned. Ephesians 6 talks about how slaves should properly be obedient to masters, masters to slaves. But even then, when they came into the church, they were all fellow Christians. The Bible is especially relevant where law and crime are the problems. From British common law to the Constitution of the United States, all are based on the complicated and manifold system manifested throughout the scriptures, both Old and New Testament. The Bible deals with broken homes. Romans 7 talks about the problems of adultery, death in the family, Matthew 19 as well, alcohol, Ephesians 5:18, Romans 14, mental health. More than anything else, God can give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, Philippians 4, and just basic morals. The Bible knows what is right and wrong only because, the world knows only what is right and wrong only because God has given a book that explains the difference in detail with illustrations throughout the Old and New Testament. You know, God has shown us what is right and the consequences for doing what is wrong. The Bible is no longer relevant to really perverted lifestyles that people want to live by so that they may mock, slander, distort, and rewrite history or to try to argue it out of existence, that is the scriptures. In truth, many decades of evil and perversion have come and gone, but the scriptures remain relevant to any who want to live life to the fullest and draw close to God. Again, no work of man has ever even come close to being able to accomplish this goal. Also, the gospel's relevance, especially to spiritual life. Man hasn't a clue of what a spiritual life is, other than what God has revealed to him. The Bible is very relevant when it comes to the purpose for our being. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, hidden, everything that is hidden, whether it's good or evil. One of the concepts or perspectives we have as Christians is how much God has a knowledge of our lives and how much we are either obeying or disobeying him. And it's all going to be brought before him. The Bible tells us how to get forgiveness from God if we have messed up. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to the very ones that crucified the Son of God, "Just repent, let each of you be baptized in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It explains how it clears the conscience. Most of us, I should say all of us, have done things or said things we regret, that we wish we could take back. Even as we know how we've hurt individuals in this life, as Joseph put it, all sin is against God. So God is the one who can show us how to clear that conscience, to start new, fresh, in front of him as a new creature. Peter says, and corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. But it's not a removal of the dirt from the flesh, but it's appeal to God for a good conscience. That's what baptism helps us do, to get a good conscience. God is willing to bequeath that to us through our obedience and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It lays out graphically how to grow to maturity. In Hebrews 5:12, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. This is an interesting concept in this day and age. People don't sit down anymore and think, well, what is good or evil, and how do I train myself to discern the difference between the two of them? Especially if you're ignoring God, how would you ever come to a knowledge of good and evil? But the Bible not only gives you that distinction and shows you those differences, but also helps train you in order to make those distinctions and to grow to maturity. The Bible also shares how to bring enjoyment to life. Peter again says, though you have not seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. 1 Peter 1, 8-9. And also how to be comforted in sorrow. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so we may know, be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with a comfort that we ourselves are comforted by God. That's kind of a mouthful to get through. But all Paul is saying is, God comforts us in every circumstance. And when we see God's comforts, we understand how she needs to be applied, how it works, and it trains us to be able to comfort others. It also shows us how to obtain hope in death. In Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, again, promised long ages ago. He promises eternal life for those that obey him. No one else can make that promise. God is the only one that has the power to fulfill that. Therefore, we need to come to God in all generations and cultures in order to receive that promise. In view of all this, the Bible is more relevant now than at any other time, and way more relevant than any other book produced by men. The only other collection that is known extensively by men is the writings of Shakespeare, and they were written merely for entertainment. And that concludes that. At this time, you know, God, in view of these things, always extends an invitation to us. You know, if we want to be better people, if we want a better life, if we want a hope that no other man can achieve, the invitation is extended, and won't you come as we stand to sing?